Secrets can lead to misunderstanding. Misunderstanding can cause fear. Everyone knows what fear can do. We are here to learn and shine the bright light of truth on these stories. You will know why Show Me Scares.
Hello.
Hey there.
I'm Shayla.
And I'm Terry.
Welcome to Show Me Scares.
Yes. It's murder week. What?
Murder week. We're going on a spree this week. It's going to be fun.
I have some people listen. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay. I don't know where that was going, but I'm scared. So this week, this is a case that I have had on the board for a very long time.
The real life board. We get to erase one.
Yes. So I wasn't sure about this one because it's not terribly long, but it's so like just weird and it has so many different layers and
that's our kind of stories.
Yeah, kind of. It is. But just warning, it may not be as long as what you're used to.
It's all right.
But and I don't think there's so much to be discussed in this one either. I think it's pretty much.
Well laid out.
Yeah. We'll see what you think. But let's just get to the story and then we can jibber jabber afterwards.
All right. Let's do it.
In 1866, Daniel Hosey met teenager Mary Williams.
They're so young back then when they got together with men.
I know. So they lived in Butler County, Ohio, and he just kind of sweeps her off her feet. You know, he's a grown man and she's a child, so.
Why you gotta put it like that?
Because it's disgusting. They ran off together in another location in Ohio and they get married. Then they end up moving to Kansas and they have a child that dies pretty quickly. Sometime in infancy, not really sure how long the child lived, but not very long. Mary comes to realize pretty quickly, I don't know if, it's hard to say if she is complicit in any of this, but she is, but seeing as how her husband raised her for a part of her life, that's quite literally.
Wrong.
Yeah. It's hard to say how much right from wrong she would have known. Mm-hmm. But anyway, she realizes her husband is a con man. And I don't know how long it took her to really realize, because I think this is something he just did a lot. So mm-hmm. I don't think that it took long. I think it was just like, oh, this is how life is, probably. I don't think there was any kind of, oh, my husband's crooked as shit. No, I think it was like, this is what people do. Okay, this is how we live. That's fine.
How he worked.
He had several aliases. Of those, I've got three that I know of because they're in the story. So there was A.G. George Hutton, Daniel Springer, and Joseph Lee. He also traveled a lot on his con jobs.
Of course.
But he also would bring Mary along with him.
Oh, so the wife came along.
Uh-huh. Kind of.
What do you mean, kind of?
Well, she would dress in men's clothing and present herself as a young boy.
Because that's not creepy either.
I know, right?
Weird.
So I'd say she had to pretty much present as a young boy because she's a young woman and then add that to, you know, she obviously is not going to have facial hair of any sort mm-hmm. and she's going to have a
skinny figure.
That too, very small in stature, but also her voice isn't going to be deep.
Right.
I mean, I'm not sure how she pulled that off, but I'm really interested in that. So she had no choice but to be a young boy. It wasn't like she could be his homie. I don't know. They eventually moved to St. Louis. And then in the fall of 1867, early fall of 1867, Daniel moves on his own to Sarcoxie, Missouri. And so he leaves her behind and goes there by himself to Sarcoxie.
A young lady mm-hmm. alone in St. Louis. And then he moves to this in the middle of nowhere.
Pretty Missouri. Much. Yeah. He takes on the persona of Captain A.G. Hutton.
Captain.
Captain.
Aye, Captain.
A single man. So he's not married. And he strikes up a friendship with a widow named Mary Margaret Fullerton.
Well, he likes those Mary names.
What? Yeah. Mary Margaret Fullerton. We're just going to call her Margaret, probably, because she has a beautiful 16-year-old daughter whose name is, guess what?
Mary.
Mary Fullerton.
Oh, my God.
So, we have Mary Hosey, Mary Margaret Fullerton, and Mary Fullerton.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
What a coincidence.
It's too much. Mary Margaret, Margaret, let's call her Margaret. Sorry, I get mixed up with the Marys, man. She is pretty well off. She financially, she's doing well for herself.
And you said she was a widow?
She was a widow. Okay. So I'm not sure how that happened. I didn't find that, but she's a widow. And so this, of course, is more than likely what attracted this
con man,
George Hutton, now, to become friends with her. He sends for his first wife, Mary, in St. Louis and tells her, hey, come down here to Sarcoxy. Well, that's awkward, right?
Very much so.
Except you need to dress as a boy when you come.
Why does he even want her there?
Well, for reasons, we'll get into that.
Oh, sorry.
At this time, who we know now as Hutton, that alias, he begins courting young Mary. And then that his first wife.
Daughter Mary?
Yes, okay. Daughter wife. His first wife arrives and she is presenting herself as young Tommy Turley. Young Tommy Turley is sickly. He's a poor guy. I don't know how else to say that. He's just sickly, not doing well. And he had been taken in by George Hutton, the captain, as his travel companion of sorts. And Mary Margaret is very kind and generous and has pity on the boy. So she takes in little Tommy to somewhat care for him, I guess.
So, a.k.a. first wife, Mary.
Yes.
Is Tommy. Okay. I'm just trying to keep it all straight.
Uh-huh. First wife is Tommy. So, then, Captain Conman marries young daughter Mary on December 15th, 1867, with sick little Tommy helping the bride get ready for her wedding day.
Oh, my gosh. This has gotten weird.
So here stands his first wife dressed as a young man helping and, you know,
new wife
being at the wedding of his new wife.
I wonder how he conned first Mary into doing this.
That's what I'm saying. Let's talk about that at the end, because keep in mind all the points where it's like, what the what? Yeah, that. It doesn't make sense. But anyway, pretty much immediately, he is trying to get Margaret to sign over her estate to her daughter, who he's now married to. Margaret tells him to F off.
Yes, go Margaret.
No, I'm not signing over my money.
You crazy man.
Yeah. Except now, he's not going to just, okay, and live, right? No, he now needs a new plan. And so, he comes up with a new plan. Tommy is very sick and he really needs to go home to Ohio. So he offers Margaret $100 and all of her expenses to accompany them and nurse Tommy as they make the trip to Ohio. And then there's even more money to be had in Ohio. He has more money than he can get cash and give you more money when we get there. Also, Tommy's parents are going to be so grateful that they will give you money too. You're going to make a shitload of money, Miss Margaret, if you just come with me and nurse this poor boy while we go to his parents. Exactly. Margaret's reluctant, obviously. She's not totally dumb. But she eventually agrees.
Oh, man.
The plan was to take a wagon to Sedalia and then get on a train and go east from there. He leaves his new wife at home, little Mary, let's say. And on February, I'm not sure what the date is, 1868, they leave for this trip to Ohio. After traveling for one whole day, they stopped to rest for the night somewhere in Lawrence County, maybe Dade County. It's just that kind of that area. Not really sure exactly where it was. They had supper and poor little Tommy fell asleep. The next morning, Tommy, okay, let's just say Mary, wakes up and Margaret is gone.
Hopefully she got the heck out.
It's only her and her husband there now. And their captive, let's say, is gone. She's gone completely. Gone.
Disappeared.
Mm-hmm. She asks Daniel, hey, what happened to Moneybags? Why is she still not here? And he was really like mean about it and was like, she just went home. Just drop it. Don't talk about it again. She Whoa. Was like, oh, she must have gotten away. Maybe. So she understood by the tone not to push it, mm-hmm. to just drop it and stop talking. The couple went on to Sedalia and they stayed there about 2 weeks, a week maybe. Why? Who knows? Maybe coming up with a good story to tell. I don't know. Then the two of them returned to Sarcoxy.
So
the two of them, which if you're telling people you're taking this boy to his parents, maybe don't bring him back with you when you come back. So there's one mistake. And also, George Hutton was bad at this.
As the con man?
I guess. He couldn't keep his story straight. He would tell different stories
and bounce
to
all over.
The same people. He even told, eventually he came up with a story that Margaret had remarried some man in St. Louis and just stayed there.
Okay.
Yeah. So all of her children are like, bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Mom didn't just leave and not come back without saying something or sending a letter mm-hmm. or something. So they're like, real suspicious pretty quickly. Tommy didn't really help matters any as far as coming up with a better story. Obviously, he's there, which is the first part that doesn't really jive.
Right.
But then when they ask him about Margaret, he says, I don't know where she's at.
He doesn't really seem bright anyway.
No.
Go along with
story. Well, I'm thinking, you know, it was probably like, I don't know. Don't talk to me. You know what I mean?
What? Mary who?
That's what I kind of picture happened there. But Tommy also, who he was to George Hutton, is now different. He's now his half-brother.
What?
Yeah. See, that's what I'm saying. How did this guy con anybody out of money? He's terrible at this. And Mary, young Mary, ends up seeing Tommy with several pieces of women's clothing, and she believes they belong to her mother. Do they, or are they
hers?
Yeah, so who knows, but she believes those are her mother's belongings, and they could have been, absolutely, but who knows. After
so weird.
After about 2 weeks, the now brothers leave again for Sedalia. Before they arrive, Mary changes into women's clothing. She's now a woman again. They went to a lawyer's office on March 29th, 1868. Mary assumed the identity of Mary Margaret Fullerton. and signed a power of attorney to George Hutton.
Oh.
Yes. So, they did that. Then, she went to St. Louis. And Hutton went back to Sarcoxie.
To the other Mary.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
He right away started selling off Margaret's shit. Most of the time, he was taking far below fair market value for the property that he was selling. And when he was asked, hey, why are you doing this? You're not allowed to just sell people's shit. He produced the power of attorney and said, yes, actually, this is my shit. I can sell it. So he's selling all this stuff. And by mid-April, people start getting suspicious. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, she left with him. He suddenly has a power of attorney after she's left.
And she's nowhere to be found. And,
yeah. She's not been heard from. So something strange is going on. On April 17th, Hutton was... There was an attempt to arrest him. And he made an attempt to flee from this arrest attempt. A lot of attempting. And they start shooting at him. And he's wounded in his shoulder and his hip.
Nice.
Yeah. They take him to a residence to be guarded and to heal. Because obviously everybody's pretty pissed about this. They don't know where she is.
They got questions.
Yes. They scheduled a hearing for like a preliminary hearing for April 28th. When they searched his belongings, they found a trunk that held within it burglary tools and pick locks. So they're right away thinking, this guy's probably not who he says
pretty
he is.
Pretty sketchy guy.
He seems to be kind of a professional something. Bad dude. Shithead. They also found a letter addressed to William Lee from St. Louis, signed MMF.
Mary Margaret
Fullerton.
Fullerton.
Fullerton. They kind of ran together there, dear.
I know, my bad.
So on the night of April 27th, early morning of April 28th, which is April 28th is his preliminary hearing, right? A mob of about 20 men with painted faces came to the residence. Took Hutton 3 miles out of Sarcoxie near Round Prairie School and hanged him from an oak tree.
That happened a lot.
It did. So the papers were pretty harsh. Not harsh. That's the wrong word. They condemned this, but not harshly. Pretty much was like, well, it's not right, but you know, sometimes you just gotta hang somebody. I mean, that's the only way you can get stuff done. They pretty much said, you know, that it's wrong, but sometimes the law takes so long that people get upset and they just want something done.
Yeah. Wow.
So there we go.
That's the end? Man's
dead. No, wow. Actually, it is not. Oh. It gets pretty interesting.
Okay.
The postmaster, Gilbert Schooling, went to St. Louis in search of Margaret Fullerton because there was a letter, remember, that had came from St. Louis with her initials on it. So he goes to St. Louis looking for her. He enlists the help of local law enforcement and he is given Detective Garlic
wow.
to help him. They go to the address on the envelope, the return address, and ask for Mrs. Fullerton. The lady of the house says, sure, I'll get her. And a young woman comes to the door and says, I'm Mrs. Fullerton.
This is the first wife, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Schooling said, oh, I'm sorry. You're not who I'm looking for. It's wrong, Miss Fullerton. I'm sorry, I'm leaving. And goes to leave. But the detective is looking at her and he's like, she's acting weird. Something is bizarre about the way she's acting. Why don't you, honey, come back with me to talk to the chief of police real quick. We're just going to sort some shit out. And she's like, absolutely, let's do this.
Go. So I don't know no better.
Yeah. So they go back And on the way there is the way I understood it. The detective notices she's tearing something, trying to tear something up. And he takes it from her. And it's a photo of the man they know as George Hutton.
Hey.
Put it in your boob, honey. Like,
why does she have it with her anyway?
Because she's...
I'm going to grab this photo and take it with me to the police station.
I know. So they take her into interrogation with the chief, and they tell her that George Hutton has been killed by a vigilante mob, and they show her the letter. They tell her, we think you wrote this letter, and she says, no, I didn't write that letter. And by the way, I've never been to Sarcoxia or Sedalia. I don't even know where those places are, so leave me alone. Well, they don't believe her. And they tell her, okay, fine, you're free to go. You've convinced us. And the chief tells Garlic, you need to keep an eye on her. Don't let her out of your sight. So Garlic acts as though he's leaving and going back to the police station, but he stands outside and continues to watch. And she goes in the house and comes right back out, pretty much. It's pretty quick.
Okay, I got it.
And she goes walking away from the house. And he catches up to her and he's like, yo, what's going on? And he notices she's crying. And he's like, what's the matter with you, young lady? And she said that she was fired from her job as a domestic servant for the family in that house. And she has nowhere to go and no money, nothing. She's without anything.
Huh.
Yeah. So he helps her find a place to stay for the night. And she's brought back to the chief of police the next morning. He pretty much says, okay, little lady, we highly suspect that you are Tommy Turley and that you helped George Hutton kill Mary Margaret Fullerton. And she says, no, that's not right. And she denies it.
No.
She denies it completely. But then eventually she just like breaks down. Mm-hmm. And she's crying and she's like, yes, okay, here's the deal. His real name is not Hutton. His real name is Daniel Springer. Lie.
That she thinks it is.
I'm his wife. And no, she doesn't think it is either. Oh. She knows this is what his name's Hosey.
Okay.
I'm his wife. I forged a power of attorney as Mary Margaret Fullerton, and I'm sorry, I'm a bad girl. And they find in her trunk her hair that she cut off to make herself look like a boy. That to me is so sad.
Why does she keep it?
Because it's like she couldn't let it go. Like it was. So, I mean, as someone who has had long hair my whole life, I understand 100% why she couldn't get rid of it.
Oh, well, I can't vouch for that.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, huh, that's like a heartbreaking piece of this for me, for her.
Yeah.
Because I know, I mean, she's a woman's a hair.
Yeah.
And especially young. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's how I took that.
And legit, she's just doing what he said.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Schooling took her back to Sarcoxie. On the way back, she confessed even more to him.
She can't shut up now, can she?
She said that she was forced to dress like Tommy, and she was absolutely certain that her husband had murdered Mary Margaret Fullerton. That it happened, she believes, that night that they were camped, that she had coffee after dinner, and she thinks that her husband put drugs in it to make her sleep so she wouldn't wake up while he was killing Margaret.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. On May 3rd, they reached Sarcoxie. She was arraigned and brought to Carthage to keep from being killed the way her husband had been, because everybody was out to get her too. She then eventually tells them her name is Mary Hosey. Her husband's name was Daniel Hosey. There's a preliminary hearing set at the Jasper County Courthouse around the 1st of June. Sometime the 1st of June. She gets a change of venue to Lawrence County, so out of Jasper County. Her lawyers file a motion for release based on lack of evidence for her. And it does seem like the papers are somewhat sympathetic to her. They talk about how beautiful she is and how she was just misled as a young woman in love. So they don't really hate on her too badly.
Which, I get that.
Yeah. The hearing for the motion to dismiss was on June 1st, 1868 in Mount Vernon, Missouri.
Hey, I know where that is.
You do. presiding over this was Judge John Price. There were at least three people who testified against her, Mary Fullerton being one of them. She said that George Hutton had tried immediately and the whole time to get his hands on her mom's money, and that Tommy was complicit. He was right there with him the whole time, trying to get her to go on this trip and begging her to please take him to his parents, and he was 100% in it, or she. Then Schooling, the postmaster, he told about the confessions that she made to him and how she had been living as Mrs. Fullerton in St. Louis. But he also said, but she did deny any involvement in murder. And she doesn't know that she was murdered. She just suspects. Mm-hmm. W.A. Hager was a brother-in-law to Mary Margaret. He said that Margaret told him that Tommy had been trying to get her to take him to Ohio for months.
Oh.
Tommy had been trying to. So, not Hutton. She was
kind of like pressing it too.
Yeah. And that they had been offering her money and all this stuff. They were urging her very hard to go to Ohio. The judge, Judge Price, dismissed the case.
Aww.
Basically, nobody. We can't prove she's dead.
That's true.
We have no way of proving she's dead. Mary, our defendant here, actually told them that she would try to find the spot where they had stayed that night and they could search it and look for it. I didn't see what happened there. I don't know if they...
Wouldn't that be the first thing you did?
Yeah. That's what I mean. I think they did it. I just don't think that the details were really put anywhere to find them. As far as the papers. Because like I said, the papers around here didn't cover it that great.
That's weird. This is a heck of a story.
I know. Mary Hosey was free to go. She left on a stage the very next day.
She got the heck out of Dodge, I'm sure.
The day after she left, which was, just so you know, the original date for her preliminary hearing in Jasper County. A group of men rode in.
With painted faces?
They were ready to take her and hang her. And they learned, oh, she's already been freed and she's out of here.
They tricked them.
Yeah. So... hey, it was actually a couple days ago. She was let go and she
just missed her, guys.
She kicked rocks, man. She got the hell out. So
she lucked out.
Yeah, she did. Mary Margaret Fullerton was never found. Aww. No one was ever charged. No one knows what happened, really.
She's got to be dead.
Oh, yeah.
Or she would have came home.
Mm-hmm. I agree. He killed her, yeah.
What a sketchy story.
Yeah.
Like, just to know that could really happen easier these days.
You think?
I mean, people's getting their identity stolen all the time.
Yeah. I just think it was a lot easier back then.
That's valid. Because you don't have to go through so many hoops.
That's what I was going to say. Mm-hmm. Like, now you would have to... I mean, if she was to go in and get a power of attorney, she's going to have a fake license, probably a social security card, all kinds of fake stuff.
That's valid.
When at that time it was like, okay, you are. Like nobody.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, nobody. They didn't have things like that. So I can see how it can happen really easily. You could probably just make up something.
That's true.
So, what do you think about Mary Hosey?
I think she was the first wife. Mm-hmm. I think she should have got charged with something, not just let go, because she was there and she might not have known that he was going to kill.
But what she charged her?
She did false identity or something. Put her in jail for something.
Yeah, that's good. No, that would work.
She can't get just. I mean, she did get just let go, but come on, she did wrong too.
Mm-hmm. She did. 100%. But was she completely under the influence of him since?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. What?
Nothing. If she's being forced to do something because her health and well-being depends on it, then that's a whole different story. I'm not saying that's what it is. I think, like I said, that she was totally in it with him. Because I think she was young and impressionable. Well, she was just a teenager.
He left her in St. Louis. She didn't have to come running as Tommy. She could just... What?
Yeah, that's true.
So?
I don't know. I think he was probably a dangerous man. I mean, he was willing to just kill this woman to get her money. So,
yeah. That's valid.
I think that... I mean, I don't know. Who knows what had happened, what she had seen him do prior to going there. You know, like there's no real good history on them to tell us if, I mean, it could be that he's connected to other deaths somewhere. We don't know how dangerous he was or if he even was, if this was something that he just did one time. We don't know. But
I doubt that.
Yeah. So
he won't do it no more.
No, he sure won't. That was, yeah.
A lot of mobs back then.
A lot of vigilante justice.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've said before, I think it's completely disgusting and wrong. Because...
You can't take law in your own hands.
No, because if it were your family member, you're going to want them to have a fair shake of it, too. So... I just think it's wrong, but I think 100% they got the right guy and he would have hanged. I think he would have gotten away with it is the real
really
scary part. Yeah, they had no body. They had no way of knowing that she was even dead.
That's true.
They would never have been able to charge him with that. I mean, we've seen people, what was the last case that we did that was like so little evidence?
I can't remember.
It was the Pineville one. So that one was... he was drug out and hanged, yeah, too. No, he was shot. That one was shot. I don't know. They always hang them, but I think he was shot. So... There's Mary Margaret Fullerton. We can take that off the board now.
Another one down. I feel like we... erase one and you add three.
Yeah, that's pretty much why it never goes down.
But we don't want it to go away. I like our board. But I'm glad we attacked one on there.
Okay.
Whoa, easy.
Ma'am, what is our review this week? I know we have another new one.
What? I love it. So mm-hmm. We got a movie girl left us 5-star review.
Thank you.
A little thing for us. And it was,
movie girl.
Yeah. And it was so nice. So we'll
thank you.
It.
You can email us and let us know who you are. And
we'll send you a sticker.
We have stickers literally in our hot little hands right now. We have stickers.
They're so cool. I already put
one
in my truck.
If you have been promised a sticker and you haven't gotten one yet, please let me know.
Reach
because
out somehow.
I'm not sure who got one and who didn't. So now that we have them... We're ready to send them out.
We have stamps. We have envelopes.
They don't need to know the whole layout of the office.
Oh, sorry. We're ready to give them to you, though.
I did want to talk just a tad about... You're an idiot.
Oh. Hey!
about our live events. Facebook live events, not live in-person events.
Oh, what about them?
Not there yet. At this point, we would hold them in our backyard.
That's how popular we are. We have 5 lawn chairs. Here you go, guys.
No, seriously, though, our live Facebook events. We're going to do another one this Friday.
No. I work Friday.
Or this Saturday. I'm sorry.
They'll have a live event without me.
Oh my gosh.
Rude ass.
I set it up on Saturday. I already did it. So this Saturday at 8 p.m.
We will be
going live again. And we asked for requests and any suggestions for live events. And we got one.
So we're doing it.
So you win, Val. We're going to do the Roland T. Owen,
it's gonna be a long one.
I was very hesitant because this case has been covered by everybody and their brother and their grandmother. I mean, everybody has done this, so but
we get to discuss with our listeners.
That's
though.
Just it. I thought, you know, so what fun. I don't even care because the discussion that we got to have when we did Bertha was unreal.
It was a blast.
It was so much fun. And so this one, it lends itself to discussion naturally because it's unsolved, but also there's no real way to figure it out. You can only just throw out crazy theories.
I'm so excited.
Because it's that like out there and crazy mm-hmm. of a story that there's really no way to be like, oh, you got it. Yep. Like, there's no way that you're ever going to get to that point. We're never going to know.
That our listeners come up with, it's like, yes.
Oh, yeah. We got some sent to us whenever we put that episode out.
Can't wait.
So if you are listening and you sent us with one of your great theories, and I meant that great, not smart ass great, then come to the Facebook Live and let's talk about your theories. Because some of them, I mean, like I said, it just lends itself naturally to these insane theories. And it's like, well, I can't say you're wrong because
right,
it makes as much sense as what the rest of the story does. Like, it's just, it's that story that we're never going to know the truth. And it makes me crazy. Those stories make
so
me
great.
Crazy, but they always end up being my favorite ones for mm-hmm. some stupid reason. I think it's because I really think that I'm going to solve them someday.
You're so adorable.
Like, people have spent, I mean, like the Borden case, people have spent 150 years, yeah, give or take,
working
on that.
A little more education on detective work.
Excuse me, what did you just say to me?
I'm not saying you're not educated. You're just
saying
not
I'm
a
too
detective.
Stupid to figure it out. That's what you just said.
Why do you hate me?
I could ask you the same. No, but
Jesus.
I know that I'm never going to figure any of these out, but I
wish
just
you would.
Want to.
Maybe you'd make more money.
Thank you for that. Now I'm a deadbeat too. That's
oh
lovely.
My gosh. I love you.
I'm
you
a dumbass
deadbeat.
Oh,
I'm
nice.
Kidding.
So anyway, I want to also ask you all to send us more suggestions. Because we have gotten some great ones. I'm thinking we might do a...
What was that?
That's UFO.
Oh my God. It sounded like an old computer. You know when
oh,
you're...
Oh, the dial-up?
Yeah.
It did. None of the kids are going to know what that means.
They're like, dial-up what?
Dial-up, what's that mean? So anyway, yeah, just send some suggestions because we've got some good ones.
Why did you do a dial-up noise? What was that? What was going to follow after that?
UFO. That's what that was.
Oh.
Did you miss that?
Yeah.
You laughed at me when I said it.
I was laughing at your noise.
Okay. I thought maybe you had a... seizure or something and completely shut off for a second.
Well, like possibility too.
Yeah. So send us any of those suggestions because some of the best ones I've done have come from suggestions. I actually had somebody call me out on a review when I said, hey, if you want us to do the Bennington Triangle, we can do the Bennington Triangle. And she was like, hey, I would love to hear you guys do the Vermont Triangle.
Oh, is that
what
it is?
It's got to be the Bennington Triangle that she's talking about. So I was like, oh, damn. So
here we are.
I think we're probably going to have to do that one soon. We might do it next week.
Yeah, keep the listeners happy.
Yeah. I think it's a lot of research that I'll have to do for that one. So it might be a couple weeks before I can get it together. But
it's on the list. You need to write that on the board.
I will.
And I will keep you updated if she does.
So, are you ready for another week?
No. I work too many days this week.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too.
And I just keep picking up days. What? But I am excited about Saturday.
Mm-hmm. So, you got your other COVID shot.
Oh, let me
tell
you.
Did we talk about that yet?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Yeah.
So tell about your experience getting the COVID vaccine.
So the first vaccine was, it made my arm very sore, and it stayed sore for a long time. But the second shot, my arm wasn't as sore, but I got sick with flu-like symptoms for like 24 hours. I woke up that night with 101 temp.
102, pretty much.
Well, it was 101.9 temperature, yeah. Headache, body aches. All that good stuff. Got some Tylenol and ibuprofen on board. Woke up, my fever had broke. Just felt achy and blah the next day. And then the second day I was fine. My arm stayed sore maybe about 3 days after that.
Yeah.
But
I'm glad you told that a lot more truthful than you had been so far. Somebody asked her earlier in the week, so how was the COVID vaccine? And she was like, I had some flu-like symptoms for about 24 hours and no big deal. And I was like, she whined like a baby for like the whole next day. Don't let her fool you. She felt like crap.
I did feel like crap. Like my head was pounding.
But the one you got is what, 95% effective?
Yeah, I got the Pfizer shot. So I don't know if that's for medical people fields or the
it just depends.
Oh, I didn't know.
It just depends.
Yeah, well, they need to put a better warning out for that damn thing.
You got it a whole lot less than what some people got.
That's true. Some people's is lasting for like 3 days.
Yeah.
I'm just glad I was off work. That was my 5-day period that I was off work, so
I
kind of like planned it that way because I knew I of all people I would get sick and be a big baby about it.
I have not gotten mine yet. I am not on the list yet.
Missy. Yeah, that's true. You was on me about getting it too because I had doubts. I'm not going to lie. I was sketchy about it. But
you know what? If I can be a part of getting us back to friggin' normal, I'm doing it. If they were like, well, it's like a 50-50 shot, you might die. I'd be like, I'm going to have to think about it. But I'd probably do it because I'm so tired of not being able to travel, of not being able to go to a bar and hang out. Like,
just not.
I'm done. I'm tired of it.
Being
I'm
able to be
sick
around
of
people
it.
And socializing is really.
Yeah. And like, I could do that. But then what if I'm sick and dead the next week? Then that wasn't worth it.
Or you make somebody else sick.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want that on me.
So, yeah, that's why I'm totally like, give it to me now. Let's
you
do this.
You should be getting close.
I am close. I am really close. We're looking at probably the first part of February when we will get our first
good
bunch. So I'm excited about that because
I'm going to keep everybody posted on how you feel.
You should. You should.
For sure.
Maybe I'll just hit the live button every now and then and be like, guys, I feel great, but Terry's making me friggin' crazy. Come and get her.
What the heck?
No. So, I think we've discussed enough, don't you?
Yeah, I guess we can let everybody go.
Mm-hmm.
Do their normal
I
Monday
did want
stuff.
To say something kind of paranormal, really. I posted actually on Instagram on my personal that I picked up Amy Bruni's book. Terry got it for me for Christmas.
Because I'm awesome.
Up Amy Bruni's book. Life with the Afterlife, 13 Truths I Learned About Ghosts, and read it in one day. I sat there and read that book cover to cover before I moved.
Yeah, because I was like at work and never heard from you all day. I was like, what are you doing?
Uh-huh.
And now I know.
It was fantastic. It was
not talking
so
to me
good.
Or the book?
The book.
Oh, okay.
It was so good. I just needed to like take a break from the world yesterday. And so
that you just dove in, huh?
I did. I just sat down, started reading, and I couldn't stop. It was so good.
And you posted it, you said?
Yes.
Okay, was there a point to that? You just posted it?
Oh,
you
just
read
in
it?
Case people saw it.
Oh.
Amy Bruni did comment
that's
on it.
That's where you're going.
I forgot about that. I knew that's where you were leading me, though.
Like she put a heart or something on there. Yeah. I'm like, oh, Amy answered my wife.
I don't know. I've kind of gotten to the point because they have answered me so many times. Like we've talked so much on Twitter and stuff that
they
I'm
know
like,
you now.
Yeah,
I think they're going to be coming to our next barbecue.
No, COVID. Hi. I think that I really do think that they're probably like, oh, there's that Shayla girl.
There's that psycho.
And then they see our emails about the Belvoir Winery thing with my name on it. They're like, God, this girl will not go away.
Yeah, email them all the time about it.
No, but what I was going to say is I was a little surprised about some of the stuff that she talked about because it was very much about like opening your mind and not being so closed off. Because I know even when I first started watching Kindred Spirits, I was like, whoa, they're doing things like I would never think they would do, mm-hmm. because I was so used to seeing them on Ghost Hunters. And they completely expanded their minds and showed like, hey, there's other ways to do this on Kindred. And so the book was even more than that.
Oh,
and
nice.
Even expanded more than that. And
I'm gonna
am
have to dig
so,
into it and read it.
Yeah. I am so excited to go on that strange escape to Belvoir now. Because
don't be the psycho person, all right?
I'm going to be.
Go.
No. No, I'm just really excited to. I'm maybe most excited about John Tenney's lecture.
I figured you would be. You were just into that
yes.
type.
So weird. So strange. And also, like, he just kind of calls you out. For like, how egotistical can you be to think you're the only kind of being there is? Like, really? And there's no way to prove.
Wow, he sounds like a great guy.
No, he's fantastic. There's no way to prove. There's no way to disprove. Like, it hasn't happened yet. We can't prove that ghosts are real. Really? I mean, if you take a skeptic and show them a video of a full-bodied apparition, they will not see a full-bodied apparition. Mm-hmm. They are going to find something.
That it is besides that.
Yes. And also, I mean, in this day and age, whenever you can manipulate anything, who would believe
on it? On video especially.
Yeah. So it makes sense, but I just really like the way that he explains things. Makes a lot of sense. So
I'm hoping they don't have to postpone it again.
Yeah, me too. So anyway, I just wanted to talk about the book and say go and get it and read it because it's fantastic.
For sure.
It's so good. And yeah, I think it'll open your mind a little bit.
Sounds like a plan. Yeah.
And she's so sweet.
Yeah, she seems to be pretty sweet. Hopefully they are in real life as well when we go meet them.
Yeah.
Or her and Adam. And
they are.
Okay.
I met them.
I
just like to rub that in whenever I can.
Dang it. You like to rub it in that I was at work and you wouldn't met them at the Galois.
Yeah. So, let's sign off on this.
All right, we can let everybody go.
Thank you for hanging out with us. Stay safe, stay healthy. We will see you on Saturday the 30th. We're going to talk about room 1046 and Roland T. Owen. So, have a fantastic week.
Hey, let me say something.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Have a good week, guys. We love you.
We love you. Bye.
Bye.